Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner, Sunday Dinner, easy flatbread for easy dinners, lunches, or even entertaining, the drink of the week, and my sweet tooth. All that's coming up on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, cheeses, meats, Italian breads, and special occasion cheesecake and birthday cakes in the deli. In the meat department, Duane's Famous Sausage, with staff happy to make those special cuts. Delivery and van service available. Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And I'll admit, sometimes I cook real flops. This weekend, we had a lot of leftovers at my house. I did make a good dinner last night. It was really quick. Really quick, just using some leftovers and some store-bought tortellini. I'm going to give you that recipe. And then also, some folks have asked for my onion ring recipe. I brought some onion rings to an event this weekend, and I've given you this recipe before, but I'll give it to you again, and that way you have it. They're always a hit, even when they're cold or room temp. They're still good. If you make a great sauce for them, of course you don't want to eat too many. Just a few is enough. First of all, tortellini. And I needed something quick because just a busy time right now. And I thought, well, we'll just have some tortellini. And I didn't make my own or anything, but I did buy tortellini. These weren't even the frozen tortellini. These were tortellini from the refrigerated section in the grocery store. So nowadays you can get all sorts of different fillings in your tortellini, store-bought. And I just bought plain old cheese tortellini in the refrigerated section. Took those home and really hadn't planned on a sauce or anything. I just figured I might even just use some butter and a little garlic, a little Parmesan cheese. But then as the night went on and it was time to make dinner, I just decided, well, Evelyn likes cream sauces, and so does Rodney. Well, we all do. And I had some leftover brie in the refrigerator that I needed to use up. So I decided to take the rind off the brie and cut that up into chunks. I also had some hazelnuts. I had the best hazelnuts from Portland that I bought at the farmer's market there, or at the Portland Saturday market. And these were already roasted, so we just chopped those up in a clean towel just so the pieces were smaller, and some were really small. I didn't want to grind them. I just wanted them to be in some nice pieces. And I did buy some ground hazelnuts from the same folks. In fact, next time we have a What's for Dinner, I'll bring the name of this company. Their hazelnuts are amazing, and I bought some ground hazelnuts that I plan to use for some sort of dessert or something flourless chocolate. So I have ground hazelnuts from this company for that. and eventually I'm going to get to that. In the meantime, we've been snacking on the hazelnuts here and there. So I had brie, I had hazelnuts, this was not a low fat meal, but you don't eat much of it. I also had, some Parmesan cheese. I used some onion, garlic, a little white wine, Chardonnay, and some red pepper flakes, also salt and pepper. Nutmeg would have been good, but I didn't think about it at the time. And I didn't even have any fresh parsley, but I did use a couple bunches of fresh thyme. So super easy. In fact, I just got my water boiling in a nice stock pot with a little bit of salt. And once you put in the refrigerated tortellini, it doesn't take long to cook. It's just a few minutes, really. And so it wasn't until I really got the sauce going that I actually put the tortellini in. So I started off with my nonstick skillet and a little bit of olive oil, probably a tablespoon, in the skillet. And I finely diced half of an onion and put that in with the olive oil and just a tiny little bit of butter, just a little bit. And I really got that onion nice and caramelized before I added two garlic cloves with my garlic crusher. And once they cooked with the onion for about a minute, nice and fragrant, I added the white wine, probably a half a cup of white wine to that mixture. And immediately the smell, the garlic and the onion, the caramelized onion with the wine, it was so good. From there I added the brie, and it immediately started to melt. And it was this nice wine cheese sauce, you know, with that onion and garlic, a little salt and pepper to that, a little pinch of red pepper flakes. And then I added just a little bit of cream to that and turned the heat down. I also added the two bunches of thyme sprigs to that and just let that sit there. And then it was time to put in the tortellini into the boiling water and pour the tortellini in, turn the water down so it doesn't come back up to a boil. You just want it to be a real nice simmer, but not boiling tortellini. And then it'll float to the top. Just check it, scoop out one. You want it to somewhat be a little bit al dente, just to have a little bit of a bite to it, so it really doesn't take long. And then you just use your spoon, wire mesh, strainer, whatever it takes to scoop out the tortellini and into your saute pan with the sauce. And if you get some of the water in there, that's okay. Keep the water, don't drain it yet because you might want some more. So just stir the tortellini around in the sauce a little bit, and then that's when I add a little more cream. You could use some milk, half and half, whatever you have that you want to use. Or you could even use yogurt. But I was going for the full deal, so I used half and half. Is what I used, actually, not just cream, but half and half. And then that will start to thicken. And if it's thickening too much, add a little bit of the water from your tortellini in there. And then I add about a cup of shredded Parmesan cheese. And then just toss it lightly. And then you just have a great cream sauce. I added the roasted hazelnuts to that. And like I said, they were in very, very small pieces. Some of them were very fine, and some of them were little chunks. And I added probably a half a cup to the mixture. And it just had that nice hazelnut cream taste. It was delicious. And then to serve, just a spoonful into a nice, wide, shallow bowl of your tortellini with the cream. And little sprinkle of hazelnut and little crack of pepper on top and a little sprinkle of cheese over the top of that. Had I had some parsley, I would have done that too, of course. A little parsley on top. And it was great. just, you know, that serving is all you need because it's rich and it's flavorful, and it was just enough to serve alongside of salad with some kale. And actually, this was even just a packaged kale mixture from the Trading Union grocery store. I've been into that a couple of weeks. I found out about this. It's just a mixture with kale and other veggies in it. It also has cranberries and pumpkin seeds, which I love, and some poppy seed dressing. You could use your own or do what you want, and you can totally make your own salad like that too. But this is ready-made, ready to go. It was a quick Sunday dinner at my house, and it was super easy, and it was satisfying. We didn't need any bread to go with it. It was just perfect the way it was. And that's what we had for dinner last night. Give it a try. It's very easy. If you don't have hazelnuts, you could use walnuts for that. That would be pretty good. I'm not sure about almonds or really any other nut. Hazelnuts or walnuts would be good with that dish. Now on for the onion rings. On to the onion rings. So lots of nice onions at the grocery store. I chose yellow onions, and they are very sweet right now. I didn't buy sweet onions. I just bought yellow onions. So I'm just going to give you the recipe using one large onion, which actually goes quite a long way because you really only need to eat a couple of these, and then you feel like, okay, that's enough. You need to have your one large onion. You need to have some flour, about 1 1/4 or 1 1/2 cups of flour. You don't need to measure it out. Just eyeball it, really. Also a teaspoon of baking powder. Put some into your hand. You might think, you know, if you take your hand and kind of bring your fingers together and wrap your thumb around, you know, right there in the middle, that's about a teaspoon, and that's all you need. Teaspoon of baking powder and a teaspoon of salt. I did not use any egg. Oh, yes, I did. I did use an egg on this one. Mm-hmm. I did use an egg. One egg. Also, I had buttermilk and a little bit of cayenne pepper and some salt and pepper. So to the flour mixture, I added the cayenne pepper to that. Also, a little bit of garlic powder. And I threw all of that into a Ziploc bag, and there you have it. You can take your onions, once you've cut them into like quarter-inch slices, you want them to be pretty big. You want the rings to be big. And then each ring is individual. You don't want a double ring. It's nice to have just one ring of onion for each onion ring. And then you're also going to need some panko breadcrumbs. And you're going to need a quart of oil for frying. So heat your oil in your pan, or if you have a deep fryer, you can use that. I don't have a deep fryer. I just put it in my heavy bottom stock pot. And you want it to heat it up to like 365 Fahrenheit. So pretty hot. Separate your onion slices into rings, and then I just take the onion slices and I put them in the Ziploc bag and I shake it around and shake it until they're coated with flour. And then I take them out of the coated flour and just set them onto a plate. Make sure you get the excess flour off. Then I take the rest of that flour and I put that in a bowl. I whisk in the egg and the buttermilk into the flour mixture, just using a fork. And it might be too thick. It might be really thick. If it's too thick, just add a little more, add some milk to it. And then you don't want it to be too thin either. But you do want it to be thick, so when you coat your onion in the batter, the batter sticks to it. So dip the floured rings into the batter and coat, and then place them on a wire rack. I just use a cooling rack, a cookie cooling rack, over a cookie sheet that has parchment down or foil or something. That's the best way to do it, because then you're going to just sit that on there and you're going to let the buttermilk mixture just stay on there and drip down. All the excess will drip down. If you have parchment or something on the cookie sheet, then that's something that you don't have to clean afterwards. You do have to clean the wire rack, though. Just let those sit while you finish them all. And then when you're done, then you have your bowl of panko. If you don't have enough panko, you can just use regular breadcrumbs, too. That's fine. I do like the panko because they're bigger and they get nice and crispy. And then you just dip the whole thing into the panko, the onion ring, and then into the oil. And if your oil is hot enough, really it takes not even hardly a minute for that onion ring to brown. And you do need to flip them over. So just make sure you have, I use chopsticks or I use my tongs and flip them over. And then I sit them on a another cookie sheet that has paper towels to drain. And then from there, they all go onto another cookie sheet into the oven at on low, 170 or whatever your oven does, however, as low as it goes. Mine only goes to 170. So that's the lowest. So I put mine on low and then let them sit there. Then when you're all done, clean up your mess. They'll be just fine in the oven, staying warm. And then you can make some sort of a dipping sauce. Maybe you want ranch. Maybe you just want ketchup. But something with a little bit of a bite is good to it. For a while, I had a really good chipotle mayonnaise in the refrigerator. It was perfectly good. It had so many chipotles in it, you could hardly eat it. And you had to spread it onto a sandwich or something, just a little bit. But Rodney cleaned out the refrigerator this weekend, and just when I went to go get that chipotle and use it, it was gone. So I thought, what should I use? What should I use? I didn't want to make a ranch dip or anything. So I looked through my pantry, and I found some, believe it or not, some chipotle sauce. It was, I think it was a chipotle, some sort of fish sauce, tartar sauce from Pike Place Market that somebody had given me. So perfect. And I think it had capers and onion, and it had a really great chipotle flavor to it. So that was perfect. I just added that to some more mayonnaise and thinned it down a little bit with a little bit of milk, and a little bit of lemon juice, and that was perfect. You just can dip your onion rings right into that, or just spoon a little bit of the sauce on your onion ring, and it's a great one to take somewhere for an event, because hardly anyone ever makes onion rings. But you can make them and just sit around and eat the whole thing. It'd be perfect for the football games too. So that's a good recipe. If you want me to email that to you, I certainly can, because it's an onion ring recipe that works. Your onion rings aren't all soggy and gross, and you can really taste the sweet flavor of the onion. So it's not just about the coating. The coating and the onion work really well together with the spiciness of the chipotle. Oh, and don't forget a little sprinkle of salt on those onion rings too. They do need a little salt. And that's dinner at my house. That's what I've cooked up this weekend. Besides, I used some leftover steak from the moose steak night to make some steak and eggs one morning for breakfast. And, that was good. But coming up, we're going to talk about easy flatbread. You can make easy dinners with it, lunches, entertaining. I could have even put that steak and eggs on top of a flatbread, and it would have been delicious. That's coming up next on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host. And today on What's for Dinner, we're going to talk about flatbread. I have lots of ideas for flatbreads, for toppings, but pretty much you can do anything you want when it comes to flatbread. I have so many ideas here, we're never going to get to all of them, of course. But just a few fun ones, besides the obvious that on a flatbread you could throw some pepperoni and make it like a pizza. But flatbread is kind of a vessel for holding lots of goodness. And they're kind of all the rage. They're in restaurant menus and wine bars. They're kind of popping up all over the place. And they're great appetizers or just for one person. You can put breakfast items on flatbread. There's a couple of kinds of flatbread. You can make a real crispy flatbread that's got a cracker-like crust, or you can use a pizza-type dough that has yeast in it for making flatbread. And I'm going to give you a recipe for the pizza dough-type flatbread. But you can, you know, you can roll them out really flat. And or you can buy flatbread in the stores and put your own toppings on them. So naan, N-A-A-N, that's a flatbread you can get in the store, among others. Sometimes you can even use pitas as flatbread, but flatbread is not hard to make, and it only takes about an hour to rise, really. You could make these up ahead of time, and you can put them in the refrigerator or freezer after you've cooked them, and then put your toppings on them later, just like how you buy them in the grocery store. So when you're making a batch, you can make four flatbreads at once. And so you can make a couple batches and make eight of them, and they're perfect. And your kids could even put whatever toppings they want on them when they're home alone and they want a snack or something. I need to make flatbread at home so Evelyn can add to whatever she wants to it. I need to do that myself. And just the thought of putting breakfast items on flatbread, and you can even, when you're making flatbread and eating it, you can even like roll it up almost like a big taco, a flatbread taco too, and it can hold lots of stuff. Your stomach's only so big though, right? But maybe it needs to be a smaller, thinner flatbread when you're rolling it out. But you can do so much from it. And you can just brush each side of the flatbread with olive oil and start laying toppings on it. So usually flatbread doesn't have pizza sauce. Usually flatbread has garlic and oil, and then other toppings like cheese, even fresh greens, sometimes meat, grilled vegetables. I mean, whatever you really want to do, you can do. So I'm going to give you an easy recipe for flatbread. You can grill flatbread on your grill. You can bake flatbread right in your oven on 450 degree oven, just like a pizza dough. Or a lot of times you can even take flatbread and put it on a your flat skillet or on some sort of a grill pan on your oven or your stovetop, and just kind of pan grill it that way too, and it works. And I've done that before, maybe doing demonstrations with kids. I've taken even the Rhodes dough, the big dinner rolls that are in the freezer section. You can thaw those out and flatten those out and turn those into little flatbreads. Or you can make your own. It's very easy. Here's a good recipe. You do need 3 cups of bread flour. Bread flour is always good to have on hand. It really does make a nice bread and flatbread. Also, a teaspoon of kosher salt. You need a teaspoon of instant yeast. 1 1/4 cup of warm water. 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil, plus more for brushing, a little flaky salt for finishing, and leaves of about 1 to 2 sprigs of rosemary for finishing if you want to. And one of my favorite flatbreads is just a garlic olive oil flatbread with a little rosemary, maybe some sun-dried tomato on top. That's one of my favorite flatbreads. Or focaccias, which a lot of times focaccias are a little thicker. So in a large bowl, whisk your flour and salt to combine, and you can use a whisk for this. Then you add your yeast and mix it right in with the dry ingredients to combine, and then make a well in the center of the bowl. Add the water and the olive oil and use a wooden spoon and mix it all up until it forms what they call a shaggy mass. Very sticky. And then on a lightly floured work surface, you just use your hands that have flour on them and take that out of the bowl and put it onto a lightly floured work surface and knead the dough until it forms a smooth ball, about 6 to 9 minutes. Or you can put this on medium speed for 3 to 4 minutes in your stand mixer with a dough hook and do it that way. So however you want to do it. I've really liked hand kneading lately. It takes a little more time, but it's just nice. It makes you feel like you're really there, you know, with your food, and you can really feel the dough change that way. But, you know, using the KitchenAid mixer works great too. And I probably would use mine a lot more if it wasn't tucked away, but I don't have the counter space at my house. So you're going to knead it for 6 to 9 minutes by hand, or 3 to 4 minutes on medium speed if you're using your stand mixer. Then, of course, transfer it to a lightly oiled bowl. Usually you oil the bowl just a little bit, put your dough in, and then flip it over. And then let it rise after you've covered it a little loosely until it's double in size, 30 minutes to an hour. It doesn't take long. You could run to the grocery store and get a few ingredients to put on top of it at that point, too. Or clean up your mess and get all the rest of the stuff out to finish making your flatbread. If you're going to grill it, you preheat your grill or a grill pan until smoking hot. And then you divide the dough into roughly four even pieces. And it's going to kind of be on the sticky side. So you want to oil your hands a little bit, and then you just stretch it out gently with your hands. You don't even really need to use a roller for this. You can just stretch it out gently. Use some parchment. Once you've stretched it out, flip it over to the other side. Add a little oil to the other side, and you know, use your fingers to push it down. You can throw it onto your grill pan and cook on, you know, till it's like golden brown, 3 to 4 minutes per side. When they're done, when they're hot from the grill, brush it with a little more olive oil, put a little flaky salt on it, sprinkle a little rosemary. But they'll keep for a couple days if you're not going to eat them right away. And once they're cool, then you can put them in some of those bread bags and tie them up and save them for later. Or you can put other toppings on them then. And then you could put them back on the grill for just a minute or two with other toppings. You could just use them with hummus, dips, pestos. Really, really good. Or you can put them in the oven on 350. Use some parchment on a, you can put them right on a stone. But you can use some parchment too. You can put some parchment onto a baking sheet and put your flatbread down on the parchment, and then just pick the parchment up, stick it onto the stone in your oven, or just onto the grate even. Or you can still use the cookie sheet, that's fine. And then after a couple of minutes, just flip it over. And you don't have to do that either. You can take it out after a couple of minutes, add some ingredients to it like I said, sun-dried tomatoes, some olives, give it another brushing of olive oil, put it back in, sprinkle on some cheese. And you can also do that at the very beginning, too, before it's even finished or before you even cook it. Put some dimples in it and press down some ingredients that you really like and stick it in the oven. It just takes a few minutes. Very, very easy. So that's the basic ingredients for grilled flatbread. It just takes 3 cups of bread flour, a teaspoon of kosher salt, teaspoon of instant yeast, 1 1/4 cup of warm water, 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil, some little flaky salt for finishing, and whatever else you want. So here comes the fun part. Lots of ideas on good flatbreads. And a lot of this stuff you can find just right around your house, and others you want to plan for a little bit, more entertaining or whatever. But the nice thing about flatbread is it's really quick and easy to just have alongside a salad or a soup or for taking to a potluck. So you can make a good flatbread with some smoked salmon and some cold smoked salmon at that. So you have those nice slices of cold smoked salmon and also some thinly sliced radishes, little lemon zest, lemon juice, some fresh dill, some chives, really good with capers, of course. And this is Norwegian, right? So it's good. A little salt and pepper. Also, a little cream cheese or creme fraiche is good, too. Any sort of spreadable cheese would be good, whether it's a goat milk cheese or a ricotta. But something a little bit with a little bit of a tang to it. So you've made your flatbread. Now you're going to take some cream cheese and some lemon zest and lemon juice. Also some dill, some chives, and black pepper. And you're going to spread that mixture across some flatbreads. You're going to top with some radish slices and the smoked salmon and garnish with dill and capers. So good. And I would definitely use a little bit of olive oil and garlic on the flatbread. Like I said, when it comes out, put a little bit of olive oil and garlic on there. And that's going to make a great flatbread. You can make 4 of these, and then you can cut them in slices, and it's a perfect potluck dish, like a Nordic flatbread. And I have another recipe with flatbread just using radishes coming up. But the reason I thought about the radishes is because we're getting the seed catalogs in the mail, and of course, all excited about produce and things like radishes that will come quick because they grow quickly, and you grow them at the beginning of the season. So radishes are going to be great coming up here soon. Same with lots of kale, the winter kale. Still lots of good produce out there, but the radishes are coming up. And because I'm excited, I love peaches, and it's hard to find a good peach these days. But you could use pears also, and you can grill them, a grilled flatbread with peaches or pears and an arugula pesto. Good arugula in the store. It's the washed 3 times kind, and you can make a good pesto out of it. So what you need is some flatbread, whether it's homemade or packaged, and you can use garlic or just have it plain. You need a couple of pears, doesn't matter what kind, or you could use a couple peaches or nectarines for this recipe if it were later in the summer. And you want those to be pitted and sliced. The pears can be sliced. Take out the center. Some extra virgin olive oil, 1/2 cup of arugula pesto. And to make an arugula pesto, it's like any pesto. Some arugula, some pine nuts or walnuts, some sort of nut with it. Some Parmesan cheese, garlic, throw it in your blender. Add your olive oil in a steady stream and a little salt, maybe a little lemon. And there you have it. You have a pesto. And you also need some fresh mozzarella cheese, like 4 ounces sliced, and some fresh arugula, and a little bit of balsamic glaze or balsamic vinegar. To make a balsamic glaze, it's pretty easy to do. You can start with 1 cup of balsamic vinegar, and then you reduce it down to a half a cup, and you pretty much have a glaze. Or you can just use a little vinegar. You don't even need to glaze it. But you have your grill on medium, and you oil either your pear or if you're using peaches, and you place those on the grill grates. And sometimes it's nice to use another grate the other direction over the top, and then they don't slip through. Make sure that they don't stick to the grill. Flip them after about 3 minutes or when they start to become caramelized, and especially if they have grill marks, that's perfect. Don't overcook them. You don't want them to be too mushy, but put them on a plate and keep them warm. And then you're going to spray your flatbread with some spray or a little olive oil, brush on some olive oil. Put them on the grill for about 2 minutes, flip them, and then spread each half with the arugula pesto and top each of them with half of the pears or peaches, the mozzarella and the arugula, and then drizzle with some of that balsamic. If you made a glaze, that's even better. And whoa, so good. The kids would probably like that. I'm not sure about the balsamic, but with the fruit on there and the cheese, delicious. Roasted radishes. I'm just thinking about, I was just looking at last night before I went to bed, I was looking at territorial seed, and I'm thinking, what radishes are we going to go for this year at my house to grow? And thinking about Farragut Farms radishes and everybody's radishes, they're so easy to grow here. And so this roasted radishes with ricotta and honey. I love ricotta and honey together. It's, if you've never had that, just give it a try. It's delicious. It's, if it's a good honey. And it's so good. So you're going to need a couple cups of radishes, and you want to cut them in half lengthwise. And if you can find some of those longer ones, perfect. A little bit of olive oil. Some flatbread, a couple of them, also a cup of ricotta cheese, 2 to 4 tablespoons of honey. If you have some little greens, microgreens, sometimes you can find them in the grocery store. Otherwise, you could use arugula or something like that. This is definitely more of a spring flatbread, but just to, you know, it's going to become quick. And then some coarse salt and ground pepper. So preheat your oven to 4 to 450. Arrange your radishes on a rimmed baking sheet. Drizzle with the oil. Season with salt and pepper. Roast for about 30 minutes and they'll start to brown. The edges will become tender. Kind of toss them if you need to, halfway through. Brush oil over your flatbread. Spread on the ricotta. Sprinkle the radishes on top. Put back in the oven for 10 to 15 minutes until the flatbread is nice and crispy. Drizzle the honey over the flatbread and garnish with some microgreens or whatever you have on hand. Doesn't that sound great? Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's another spring flatbread, asparagus flatbread. If you buy asparagus now, it's going to be pretty expensive because it's out of season. And so asparagus is best left for the spring. You're going to need a couple tablespoons of olive oil and some flatbread. You also need a bunch of asparagus, ends trimmed, some lemon juice and zested, and some freshly ground black pepper, also a little Parmesan cheese. Preheat your oven to 450. You're going to get your flatbread out, and we're just assuming that you've already rolled it out into, you know, a couple flatbreads or one long flatbread, or you've stored them in the refrigerator or freezer and you've gotten them out. You're ready to use them. Toss the asparagus with a couple tablespoons of olive oil, lemon juice, and zest. Add a little salt and pepper. Arrange the asparagus on the flatbread or the flatbread dough. Maybe it's already... it's just dough. It's fine. Top with some Parmesan and bake the flatbread until the crust is golden and the crisp asparagus turns a little tender 20 to 25 minutes. Let it cool before serving. That would be great with some eggs, wouldn't it? All right, here's another idea for flatbread. And this is one of my favorite grilled cheeses. It's a grilled cheese with cheddar, or you could use brie. I also like green apple, pancetta, and arugula on a nice grilled cheese sandwich, maybe with a sourdough bread or a multigrain. But this on a flatbread, delicious. And you can use aged cheddar for this. So you need some flatbread. And you need your grated, crumbled, aged white cheddar. Or Beecher's cheddar would be perfect for this. A quarter cup of diced pancetta or bacon, cooked. A fourth to a third of a large apple, cored and very thinly sliced. You don't need to peel it, and I would use a nice big green apple for this one. A handful of fresh baby arugula. So you have your flatbread. You're going to heat your oven to 400. You're going to top your flatbread with cheddar and your bacon, little ground pepper. Arrange the sliced apples over the top. Put them on a parchment-lined baking sheet and put in the oven 7 to 10 minutes or until the cheese is melted. Then bring it out and allow them to cool slightly. And then you just put the arugula right over the top and cut into triangles or slices. Or you just have one big piece. But it's a perfect lunch. Perfect and easy. You can take the ingredients separately to... Well, I can. I have an oven here at work. I can make it work if I want, but or you can just have them all ready to go at home, run home and make your flatbread, or already have it done, and all you have to do is just add arugula to the top of it at work, and it's a great lunch. Just a couple more interesting ideas for flatbread, a pancetta, or bacon, some kale, and if you happen to have any pumpkin left, or you could use some squash roasted, that would be good on flatbread. You can make like a pumpkin sage butter to kind of pour on the flatbread. Perfect. A little pine nuts, a little cheddar cheese. That would be good. Also, avocado is great on flatbread, whether you use it chunks of it or make a spread. And you can use chicken and you can use some cilantro, bacon, some cotija cheese crumbled. Basically anything can go on a flatbread. Garlic chicken flatbread. You can make somewhat like a white sauce and put that on a flatbread and put some chicken on that. And some garlic. You can even put some thinly sliced potatoes onto flatbread with rosemary and cheddar cheese. Delicious. But another thing you can use for flatbread, like I had mentioned earlier, is you can make a flatbread with eggs on it. So you can do, it's almost like a kale and egg breakfast pizza. You would use some fresh mozzarella cheese, a couple cloves of minced garlic, use some leeks and some kale, a couple cups of kale, shredded. Make sure for this you wouldn't want to use a lot of stem because you're not sautéing it really, and don't use a lot of stem because you're not going to cook it a long time. But so you have your flatbread and you cover them with some mozzarella. Sauté some garlic, leeks, and kale in a pan just for a little bit. Transfer that to the pizza. Cook at about 400 for 15 minutes. While the pizza is cooking, you can crack an egg right over the top and then throw it back in Take it out, put an egg, crack it, make a little well in the center of the of your little flatbread, and then just cook it a few extra minutes for that egg to cook. Or you can go ahead and make an egg, a poached egg, and put it right on top when it comes out of the oven, and then cut into it and let the yolk go all over the place. So that's a pretty fun flatbread. Or you can also saute up some peppers and some onions, red peppers, or some of those sweet peppers, the different colors, and saute those up with some onion and some garlic, even more kale if you want, and a little olive oil, spread it onto your flatbread, put your other ingredients, maybe a little bit of cheese, make a well in the center, a place for an egg, or two. Let's say your flatbread is kind of long and narrow, you maybe could fit two eggs on that, and it would be perfect. You can cut it in half and share with somebody. Put it back in the oven, let the eggs cook until the whites are done and the yolks are runny, a little runny still. And that would make a great breakfast flatbread. And that's it. That's all I have for flatbreads today. So I hope I've inspired you, whether you make your own flatbread or you purchase one already made. You could use pizza dough. You could use, like I said, frozen bread dough and make some flatbread out of that, too. In fact, a lot of people do that when they're camping. That's a fun thing to do. Coming up next, we have the drink of the week here on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. On Singley Alley and open 7 days a week. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today's drink of the week, using some apple cider vinegar. And so you need some good ginger ale, 15 to 30 ounces, or you could use water. Four tablespoons of apple cider vinegar. That Bragg brand is great with the ginger spice. It's in a jar. Also, 4 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and a pinch of cayenne pepper, which is optional. This is kind of like a spicy detox drink and be really good for sore throats. Also, 4 tablespoons of honey, raw honey if you have it. You might not need the honey if you're using ginger ale instead of water. Might be sweet enough for you, but the honey is good too. And if you want some fresh ginger, you can grate some of that in there. This makes about 4 to 8 cups. Dissolve the cinnamon, the cayenne, the honey, and the lemon in the hot water or ginger ale. Add apple cider vinegar to that mixture. You can make this a hot drink with hot water. Make it like a hot tea, or you can serve it over ice for an iced beverage. Put it in the fridge. It'll keep for a couple of days, and it's ready anytime. If you think it's too concentrated, you can add more water or ginger ale to your liking. And that's an apple cider vinegar drink. Thank you. what's for dinner. I do have something for my sweet tooth. Seems like we've been eating our share of sweets over the winter time. Actually, I haven't been doing too bad, but I ran across this recipe from Divine Healthy Food at divinehealthyfood.com. I love this website. All of the recipes, I believe, are vegan. But this recipe, because the season, avocados are good right now. And so are limes, and limes are cheap. I was so excited to find this recipe. You're going to love it. If you make it, let me know at kfsk.org. Mindy@kfsk.org. It's on my list to make. It won't be this week, but it could be next week. But this is a lime cream bar. And it starts off with a base. You're going to put this in the freezer. A quarter cup of walnuts and a quarter cup of almonds and 2 tablespoons of oat flour or instant oats. A couple tablespoons of finely shredded coconut, a quarter cup of golden raisins, a teaspoon of pure vanilla extract, and a couple of pitted dates. That's your base. Add all the ingredients for the base into a food processor. You could use a blender. Pulse. If you're using a blender, you just want to pulse it, because you don't want it to you don't want it to blend so thin. But just pulse it. You just want it to be a sticky mixture. Spoon it out. Press it into a square 6x2-inch pan that has parchment paper in it. Put it in the freezer while you finish the rest of the lime cream bar. So it's just walnuts, oats. There's no eggs in this. No wheat. Then the lime layer. 1 large avocado. 2 tablespoons of coconut oil. And that coconut oil, you know, it's perfect, because it'll harden up, and it's great. We've been using it a lot at our house. A tablespoon of cream coconut or coconut butter. A couple tablespoons of lime juice. A couple tablespoons of maple syrup. Pure maple syrup if you have it. A teaspoon of vanilla extract and a little pinch of sea salt. For the topping, a little lime zest. You could also use some shaved chocolate. So for the lime layer, you're going to use the blender or your food processor. Cut open the avocado, remove the pit, scoop out the flesh. Put the avocado in the blender along with the coconut oil, the coconut cream or butter, lime juice, pure maple syrup, vanilla extract, and salt. Blend on full speed. Make sure you mix it so it becomes nice and smooth, a smooth green cream. Take the pan out of the freezer, add the avocado layer, and even out the top of the spatula or spoon so it's flat. Cover it with either foil or a paper towel or something, and put it back in the freezer. Freeze for a couple of hours until it hardens, and then sprinkle some lime zest on top. And when you're ready, you cut it into squares. And it is a lime cream bar using avocado and lime and coconut. And then the wonderful base. This is, once again, it's from divinehealthyfood.com. And I think it's a definite one to try. And thanks for listening today. That's it on What's for Dinner. Hope I've inspired you to make some flatbread. And kids will have fun. It's like, you know, making a pizza without the pizza sauce, with other stuff. You could even make a sweet cream with fruit and put that on top, like a sweet pizza. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more recipes, tips, good food. In the meantime, happy eating and happy cooking.